We've been talking about prayer. Delightful. Say delightful.
Delightful.
Oh, I tell you what. Religious people have messed up everything. Did you know that? Religion has messed up everything and got people thinking that prayer is some kind of a duty of bondage and drudgery, and we just have to do it, and if we don't pray, then somehow we don't belong to God, and we gotta, you know. Listen, prayer is just simply talking to God. I don't have to talk to God, I get to talk to God. Amen? I don't have to commune with God, I get to commune. That's what it says in Exodus 25:22. He says, "There I will meet with you, and I will commune with you." I'll meet and I will commune. I'll meet. To meet somebody, you have to do something, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
You have to show up.
And God's promise, He's always going to show up. Always show up. God says, "I'll show up and commune. I'll talk." Devar. Hebrew word, devar. Hebrew, devar means speak. Speak. I'll speak with you. I'll talk with you. We'll just have a nice talk. Do you ever think of prayer that way?
Yeah.
Well, there's actually an old song that says that, but the old song didn't know how to pray. They said, "I'm going to have a little talk with Jesus. Gonna tell him all about my what? Troubles. No, I'm going to tell him all about his word. We're going to talk about the word of God." Amen? Talking about the word. That's what he tells us to do among ourselves. That's what he wants us to do when we come to him. Most people think that prayer is requests. Well, there is a request time. And listen, as I teach on prayer, I want to get just as deep as I can. You wouldn't believe all the thoughts and things that come to me as I meditate prayer, but I can't go into all of them. We do know that there are different kinds of prayer. There is an intercessory prayer. There's a prayer for requesting. There's a prayer of thanksgiving. There's a prayer of consecration. Incidentally, you just mark this down in your notes. The prayer of consecration is the time when we get into "if it be your will." If it be your will. But we don't stand up here and pray for the sick and say "if it be your will," because his will is known about sickness. God is willing that all should be healed. He's willing that all should be prosperous. You say, "How do you know that?" Same way I know that he's willing that all should be healed, because he told me in his word. "Though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich." Say, "I'm rich." Some of you aren't sure. Say, "I'm rich." Say, "I'm very rich. I am prosperous. I have more than enough. God supplies all of my need. His will is that I be rich. That I be very rich. I'm blessed in faithful Abraham." Abraham was very rich. He was very great. I know that. Well, see, if you listen to me say it and kind of assent mentally to that, maybe, maybe not. That's where you are. You're kind of this one of those Christians. What is that called? A fence rider, that's a good place. And what does a fence rider do? When the guy's on the fence, he wavers. Say waver. "Let not the man who wavers think that he shall receive anything from the Lord." James said that. I didn't say it. See, that's our problem. And there's always people sitting in every service that want to stop and say, "But what about this? And what about that?" And they always want to try to argue with the Word of God. And if you're arguing, guess where you are? I don't know if I've got a good deal on that or not. Waverers. Wavering won't do it. It's kind of like what the Lord said about us. He said, "He that puts his hand to the plow and then turns back." What do you use a plow for? Any of you here actually use a physical plow anymore? I don't. I used to. We used to plow things under. We used to plow. Didn't really use a plow all that much, but we did things that did a plowing. plows a specific instrument. So, was Jesus not talking to you when he said, he that puts his hand to the plow and turns back is not worthy of the kingdom? What's he talking about? How many of you know that in every race there's a full bunch of starters? Lots of people start. Right? What happens at the end? In every race. Huh? Some don't cross, do they? Some give up before they get there. Every marathon, there are people that drop out. And in an amazing amount of dashes, you watch. There's somebody falls down or pulls up lame or something, you know? Right? And so God's talking about people putting their hand to the plow and then turning back. You know, I think it's a dangerous thing. And listen, I realize there are going to be changes in our routine because God's growing us. Say, he's growing me. He is growing us. But I want to caution us about just turning loose of something you have begun. I want to caution you about it because there's a danger in doing that. Number one, it sets a routine into your life. How many of you know that if you've always had trouble finishing things, that's one of the worst problems that you'll have in life? I'm a starter, but I'm not a finisher. You know, in Christianity, we find a lot of people that do the cannonball into the pool. You know what I'm talking about? They make a huge splash. But not too many people want to swim laps. Right? Because that requires routine. How many of you have ever plowed physically? You've been on a... Yeah, you know what it is to do it. How many of you found that some of the most exciting things you ever did was plowing?
When I was 13, it was.
For about the first hour, I was on the tractor. Boy, that was exciting. I remember. I think my dad didn't have but one son, so I got started a little younger. But that was exciting. But you know what? That is one of the dullest, most boring, one of the best opportunities to pray you ever saw in your life. Even if you're not much of a prayer, you'll learn to pray. I used to pray for clouds. Lord, send a cloud. Let it rain. Lord, I can get off this silly thing. Go in. But you know, plowing is not exciting, and yet, it's what we do. And I'm saying that to say this. I believe in joy. I believe in excitement. I'm so happy for the manifestations of the Spirit and things that, you know, that happen, that, well, healings and people getting their needs met. I'm excited about those. But listen to me now. You know, God didn't design us so that all of our life would just be stepping from one of these to another. He stepped us with a lot of plowing in between. A lot of plowing. And, you know, it's any operation you do. I have to be honest with you, even harvest wasn't exciting to me after a while because you did the same thing, you know, and you got covered up with dirt and chaff and all kinds of stuff. Well, that's the way life is. There's a lot of routine in our life. Now, what happens to you in that routine is up to you. We've got our kids now where if they don't have two or three games going at one time and texting over here and you know, computer on the side and earphones in the ears, what do they say? I'm bored. I'm bored. Well, listen, we don't need all that input. I say we don't need all that input. Amen. Amen. We don't need all that input.
That's right.
Be still. Listen to me now. Be still. And know that I am God. Be still. In fact, isn't it interesting that the scripture says, in quietness and in confidence, you will gain your strength. Quietness and confidence. But we're not that way anymore. The world is full. Do any of you remember that old movie that was on? What was the name of that movie? Short Circuit, was it?
Oh, yeah.
With a robot, number 5?
Yeah.
Number 5 is alive. Do you remember what he wanted? input. And he'd read books and get input. And that's the way we are. We're overloaded. That's what it is. And we can't be happy. We couldn't just take a ride. If we take a ride, we got to have a DVD player. Right? Mom and Dad, I know you haven't got the DVD player in the back. You got this thing stuck to your head all the time, some of you. Well, I want to tell you, that's an enemy to prayer. Now, it's not that you can't pray in the midst of other things, but, you know, there need to be time when you just settle. Become settled down. And so, when we talk about prayer, I want to talk about it in the way that I really believe God. I think it's a new way of teaching it, that it's a delight. What a delight. He says he'll meet with us and commune with us. We talked about the garden. I can just see Adam, you know, in the garden. He had this garden there, and I mean to tell you, wow, it was great. You know, we think about a garden, and all we think about is this guy's out, he had to camp, right? I don't know what he had, but I'll tell you what, it was like being indoors in this huge outdoors. Do you understand what I'm saying? He could lay down anywhere and didn't have to worry about critters, mosquitoes, right? Everything was good. So he was there, and God, the Bible said God blew his breath on him while he was there. That's what the cool of the day is, remember. It's the Ruach. And in that breath was his instruction, was his fellowship, communion. Everything God tells you doesn't mean I'm going to tell you and you got to go do something. That is part of what he tells us, but part of us, you know, he's our father. He's Abba. He just comes and says, "Hi, son. Man, I love you." You ever hear him say that? "Well, I really love you." Well, see, if you're not hearing that, it's because you're not into his word and into the way things really are. And this is what I want to change. Too much of what prayer has become is religious. And if it isn't religious to start with, we'll make it religious as we go about it. We get it into such a routine and such a dead thing when it's supposed to be live all the time. And that's what we're talking about. Joy-filled communion with God. I believe Yeshua knew about that. What do you think? When he got up a great while before day, I just see him getting up. I don't see his alarm clock ringing. I just see him laying there in bed, and the Lord's on his mind. His Father's on his mind. And he just gets up and says, "I just need to be out by myself for a while today." And he gets up and he goes out and he's with the Father. Nobody else around for a while. He didn't last. You remember that. It didn't last. They came and got him. But pretty soon they said, "Man, he's got something about this that we don't understand. All we know about is the Shemone Esrei, the Amidah, the standing prayer. We do this. We don't get much out of that." And Yeshua, I don't know if he ever did that. I tend to doubt it, because I figure if he did it, it was in tune to some music he was singing to the Lord. Don't you? Yeah. "Oh yes, oh Father, how I love you." You know, I can see him doing it that way. In fact, I believe, I've told you that, I believe that's the way davening got started, where somebody was watching some godly person sway to their music, and perhaps they couldn't hear him singing. And they said, "Woo! Rabbi the sage is doing that. I'll do it too. I'll be holy like he is." But Yeshua said, "Listen, when you pray, pray after this manner. After this manner. Do it along these lines. Let this be the kind of thing that you do." And let me just give you some topics to remember. Just some general things to talk about. And so what happened? Every church for hundreds and thousands of miles began to say, "The Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." In unison. That's not what he said. After this manner. Like this. Avinu Shabashamayim. Yitgadal vayitkadesh Shamei Rabbah. Holy, mighty, great is your name. Great name of God. Pray like that. Holy is your name. Say it. Holy is your name. When you read hallowed, that means holy. Holy. Say holy. Holy. We sang about holy a lot this morning. Holy. The Lord's holy. He is holiness. He is the very epitome, the very definition of holiness is Yahweh. Isn't that right? Holy is Yahweh. Holy is the Lord. Is that right? So as we look at prayer and we begin to think, well, what are we trying to accomplish as we pray? What are we trying to accomplish?
A connection.
A connection. Fellowship.
Establishment. A relationship with Him.
Participation. That's right. That's what we're doing. We're establishing relationship. And that's what we have. We actually have more relationship than we make use of. We have access. Say access. Access into the Holy of Holies. Do you make use of it every day? Well, you have access. If you don't go in, whose fault is that? It's our fault, isn't it? So, the psalmist, thinking about this in Psalm 103, I believe he was thinking along these lines, he begins to set us into a pattern of loving God. In Psalm 103, verse 1, he makes this statement, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Actually, he makes this command. This is not a statement. This is a command. "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Hey, soul, bless the Lord. Bless His holy name. His what? His holy name. We want to bless His name. What is His name? Yahweh. Yahweh. Then he says in the second verse, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not." And forget not. So what are we trying to accomplish? Relationship, fellowship, participation, being together with, and forgetting not. That's right. We don't want to forget. And there's two ways to forget. One is a memory lapse, and the other is lack of attention. We fail to attend to the things of the earth. The Bible says, set your affection. Did you know that if you can set something, that means it's adjustable, right? Yeah. Set your affection on things above. So that's something that's a choice. When you tune to channel 3 or channel 4, that's a choice. When you tune to God, that's a choice. I'm setting my affection. I'm forgetting not. I'm attending to. I'm putting my attention on Him. Bless His holy name. Forget not all His benefits. Verse 3, 4, and 5 says, "Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, and crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles."
Nice.
Man, that's benefits. Do you have a benefit package where you work? Do I ever have a benefit package? Amen. Good wages and benefits. Amen.
Amen.
My wages are eternal life. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. It's not really wages, it's a gift. God just gives me a gift every time I show up. And I don't forget my benefits. My iniquities forgiven. My sicknesses are healed. I missed hell. He redeemed my life from the pit, from destruction. Hallelujah. He crowns me with His chesed and with His tender mercies, His rahum, His raham, His womb love for me. That's on me. Think about the way I'm dressed. Dressed in God's love, His tender mercies, and His chesed. His loving kindness. But then think of this. Remember what we talked about this morning as we ended the prayer about healing? He satisfies your mouth with good things. Good things. Say good things. Who knows what good things are? Do you? You know, the way you know it is if God showed you. Because a lot of the stuff we call good is not good. Right? BLTs, not good. LTs, okay. So, he knows about good things. He knows about good things. And I really believe that's one of the areas of our healing we've missed. I don't believe in getting a Whole Foods mentality. Have you ever heard anybody that just had a Whole Foods mentality? All they do, when they talk about healing, it's all about food. No. It's all about God. It's not about your secret remedies. It's all about God. In fact, I believe I've seen people who would have otherwise been healed that have gotten confused about the power of the things they're using in the even medicine. If you start putting medicine in as your hope, you're in trouble. Because medicine can't heal. Only God can heal. But if you keep it right, God's my healer. But He guides my mouth to good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. So taking these things, Jesus said, pray in this manner. Father, Abba, my Father. We pray to the Father in Jesus' name. We don't pray to Jesus. We pray to the Father. Can you talk to Jesus? Sure. But when you're actually praying, legally praying, literally praying, you're praying to the Father in Jesus' name. Is Jesus gone when you're praying? No, He's there. He's right. He's involved. But we pray to the Father. So in that context, the Bible says to bless, to meditate, which means to mutter, or to speak. Prayer should be out loud. You say, can I pray silently? Probably. But you know, why try to do it differently than what the Scripture says? Our Jewish brethren know about praying out loud, don't they? How many of you ever saw anybody praying the prayer book? It's out loud. They're davening, they're praying their book, either memorized or otherwise. Right? We know about that, but we don't often practice it like we're supposed to. So we're supposed to be speaking the glories or the benefits of His revealed name. His holy name. What do we know about Yahweh? Who can tell me who Yahweh is? See, the Bible reveals things about Yahweh. That's how I know what Yahweh is like. Yahweh, just by the name, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, has within it eternity, the eternal. I am, I was, I will be. Or if you want to keep them in order, I was, I am, and I will be. Right? Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. But then it also tells us that He is grace-giving, merciful, covenant-keeping, loving, doesn't it? That's the name of Yahweh. And if we look at it, He's given us 8 redemptive names. How many of you know the 8 redemptive names? Now, there's more than 8. But there are 8 primary that I want to deal with. There are more names of God than these 8. In fact, there's more that don't even begin with Yahweh, but that do begin with the compound Yahweh names. 8 redemptive names, covenant names. What's the first one? We looked at it last week. Yahweh Tzidkenu. Tzidkenu. What does that mean? Yahweh, our righteousness. We're going to cover the second one this week, but let's go ahead and mention the other 7. Yahweh Makadish, Yahweh Shema, Yahweh Shalom, Yahweh Rapha, Yahweh Yireh, Yahweh Nisi, and Yahweh Rohi. Tzidkenu is righteousness. Makadish is sanctify or holy. Shema, the Lord is there. speaks of His presence everywhere, right? Shalom, what is shalom? Nothing missing, nothing broken. Wholeness. Rapha, what's Rapha? Healer. What's Yira? Yira is provider, or literally, he who sees. Sees before. Nisi. Banner. His banner over us is love. And Rohi? Rohi. It actually comes, when they say about the congregation in Denver named Roe Israel. Shepherd. Shepherd. Roe is shepherd. Rohi is my shepherd. Rohi. So, we're going to look at those. And today we're looking at this name, Yahweh Makadosh. Yahweh Makadosh. Don't you forget His benefits, remember? We don't want to forget His benefits. Yahweh Makadosh. Yahweh who sanctifies. Well, we've been singing all morning about His holiness. He is holy, holy, holy. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. He's holy. Who could sanctify but the one who's holy? No one else could sanctify, could they? Only God, who is holy, could make us holy. Right? He's the only one who can impart holiness. At least to start. And it's redemption. Redemption from the separation due to sin. Redemption from separation that's due to sin. We were separated from God. We were aliens. The Bible says we were without God in this world. And the first thing He had to do was make us righteous. We talked about that last week. But once He made us righteous, in other words, justified us and forgave our sins, then He also set us apart for Himself. You'll get some different words. Sanctification. Sanctify means to set apart. To set apart. To separate. You'll see this as we go. Now listen to Exodus 31:13. This is where He gives us this name in Scripture. One of the places. Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you. What did He just say there? What is a sign?
Sabbaths.
Sabbaths. Not just Sabbaths, but keeping the Sabbaths. I've given you the Sabbath, He said, to sanctify you, to set you apart. The Sabbaths are a sign between me and you throughout your generations that you may know. That you may know. I've given you the Sabbath for you to keep that you may know. I'm going to tell you there's a connection here between Sabbath keeping and knowing that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. We want to keep it in the Word, right?
Yes.
He's a sanctifying God, right? And He gave us a sanctifying sign. And what's the sign?
Sabbath.
Sabbath keeping.
Sabbath.
Sabbath keeping. Keeping the Sabbath is a sign. It's a sign. Why is it? Did you know before He gave the Sabbath there was no Sabbath? I mean, He kept it, but there was no Sabbath for men. Men didn't know about Sabbath, did they? When they worked in Egypt, you ever hear anybody say, well, they on the Sabbath they did such and such? No, no. Why? Because He hadn't given it to them yet. He spoke it out to Moses, and that's where this all came into knowledge in Genesis, in the book of Genesis. But just think about it. Up until that time, even though He had kept it, and set the day apart for Himself, people didn't have it, so they were without the Sabbath. But it was a part and parcel of setting them apart unto Himself, was the giving of the Sabbath and their keeping it. The giving was God's part, their keeping it was their part, and it was a sign of sanctification. Because He says, that you may know that I am Yahweh who doth sanctify you. So that's a part of sanctification, is putting the Sabbath in its place and keeping the Sabbath there. Leviticus 8:15, we read that it says, in that time when they were setting up the worship, that there was something else that went into sanctification, and that was that they took the blood and they put it on the horns of the altar. Say blood.
Blood.
And they did that with their finger, and they purified the altar, and they poured the blood at the bottom of the altar and sanctified it to make reconciliation upon it. How did they sanctify the altar? With blood. The shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So we see that sanctification is an act of the blood covenant. Blood. What did we find out about being righteous? He made us righteous in His blood, didn't He? He sanctifies us in His blood. Yahweh Mekadesh. Yahweh who sanctifies, it's through His blood, through the blood covenant. To be set apart. The scripture says in Psalm 4:3, know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for Himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto Him. The Lord sets apart the godly. What is godly? What does godly mean? Have you ever thought about what it means to be godly? Like. That's right. Li, at the end of a word, that's what that means. L-Y, the thing that makes it an adverb, is like. Like. Godly. We've kind of added little thoughts to it and different things, but it means to be godlike. And we'll talk more about this, but how do we get to be godlike? Well, it has to start with his action, right? His imputation of righteousness. And then His decision to set us apart. That's a calling, isn't it? To be set apart, isn't that a calling? If someone's set apart, aren't they called? Sure. To be a set apart unto Him. Godliness, godlike. Now, in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, listen to what it says about sanctification. And the very God of Shalom. Say God of Shalom. God of peace. That's shalom. You remember that when Yeshua talked, He didn't speak Greek, right? He wasn't a Greek speaker. If He knew Greek, He didn't speak it much. Anything that they recorded that He said in the original was either Aramaic or Hebrew, right? So He's talking about shalom. And the very God of shalom, what does shalom mean? Nothing, what? Nothing missing. So He's the God with nothing missing, nothing broken, right? You agree with that? God of shalom. That's may not be the full meaning of shalom, but it's certainly about the best meaning we have. Nothing missing, nothing broken. He says the very God of shalom sanctify you how much? Sanctify you. How much sanctification do we need?
Holy.
Holy. Say holy. Shalem, holy, holy unto God, holy. Our brother Jonathan's got a CD coming out, holy unto God, W-H-O-L-L-Y, with the H-O-L-Y highlighted, brought out. Think about it, holy unto God, holy. That's a good name, I like that. Speaks of sanctification, holy unto God. That we're holy. Sanctify you holy. I pray God, you're whole. Say whole. Whole. What's He talking about? Our completeness. Our meodeka. All that we are. Your whole spirit, your whole soul, and your whole body. Or the thing that makes you whole is your spirit, soul, and body. That's how you're whole. That you be what? Preserved. Is that a part of sanctification? Yeah, preservation is part of sanctification. When you reserve something for yourself, you're preserving it, aren't you? When you set something apart for yourself. So this is what God's doing to us. We need to see this. That you be preserved blameless how long? Until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then we'll be in a new body and we'll be forever eternally sanctified unto Him, won't we? Amen. Nothing missing. Total preservation. Now, we've said that God starts this thing, doesn't He? God has to call us holy. God has to begin it. He set us apart. How many of you believe you're set apart for God? By Him. Sure. You're set apart by Him for Himself. Set apart. Set apart. So, in Exodus 19:14, it says, as Moses went down unto the people and sanctified the people. Now, could Moses sanctify anyone? How did he do it? On behalf of God, didn't he? In God's behalf, Moses went down. That's what God told him to do. And he sanctified the people. That's God's calling of sanctification on them. What'd they do? They sat there and said, oh, glory, we're sanctified. Now, what'd they do? What's it say they did? They what? They washed their clothes. That's a pretty religious thing to do, isn't it? Wash your clothes. This is the way we wash our clothes. They what'd they do? They sanctified themselves. How could they do that? They washed their clothes. What was it a sign of? Same thing that hand washing is a sign of. A change of status. Same thing Yeshua was doing when He washed feet. A change of status. They washed their clothes. They washed their clothes. How many of you ever feel like doing that? I know Dan's given testimonies before about times when he's felt the need to sanctify himself and gone and washed himself. I do that. Occasionally I do it. A lot of times before I come into the service, I'll stop and wash my hands. Clean hands and a pure heart. I'm going to go up to Your holy hill. I'm going to enter into Your presence. Does it really wash any spiritual stains away? No. But you know what? There's something about doing things physically. Those of you that weren't there Wednesday night, Henrietta had me stand up beside her. And she says, you see how much taller he is than I am? And she stands about there on me? And she says, can you imagine walking around the lake with him, with his stride compared to my stride? We walk around the lake most every day, pray our way around the lake. We just have a good time talking to the Lord, talking to one another. See, prayer meeting doesn't mean you can't talk to one another while you're talking to God. That's prayer. And so we pray and we talk and we keep God on our hearts and on our minds. But she said, as I left her the other day, because I go a little bit further than she does, and then turn around and come back, she went part of the way with me and turned around. She said, I noticed Terry's footprints there, and I decided, well, I'm going to walk in those. And she said, I reach out, you know, and walk in Terry's footprints. And she says, God spoke to me while I was doing it. And He said, you see how you're reaching to walk in those footsteps? That's what I want you to do with your walk of faith, is stretch out and walk in those steps. Man, I'll tell you what, that blessed me to hear that. That's a lesson. That's a sermon. To walk, to stretch ourselves. Wash my clothes when God's present. Well, was that necessary for the priest? That's what the whole basin was about there. That's what the whole mikveh system is about. Is a physical manifestation of cleansing that goes along with what God's calling is upon us. We're to be separate, set apart from sin. Here's what Leviticus 11:44 said. God says, for I am the Lord your God. I'm Yahweh Elohecha. You shall therefore sanctify yourselves. Well, now, God, if You've sanctified me, isn't that sufficient? Well, is it? No. That's His call. See, this is the difference between righteousness. Because when it comes to righteousness, you can do nothing about it. When God made you righteous, your good deeds were filthy rags. Your evil deeds are washed away, and you are declared. Say declared. Declared righteous. Now, what that cost was the blood of Yeshua. But He just declared you righteous, had nothing to do with what you did. Sanctification, on the other hand, starts with God, but it ends with me. God who sanctifies. He sanctified me. So when He says, Moses came down and for God, in God's stead, sanctified the people, called them, set them apart. They had to do something. And Yahweh says to them, I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. What's he saying? You should be like me. You should be godly. Sanctify yourselves, for I'm holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creeps on the earth. What's he talking about there? What you eat? Don't defile yourself. Yeah, don't eat worms. Don't eat worms and monkfish and lobsters and crabs and oysters. Don't eat those. Don't defile yourself. That's what he's saying. He's saying that they are a enemy of sanctification, isn't he? So we should really look at what we're doing. Listen how it comes across in 1 Corinthians 6:9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Now, unrighteous here is not talking about the same force of righteousness we talked about last week. It's talking about those who act unrighteously. Once they've been made righteous, those who now begin to act in an unrighteous manner, which is unsanctified. Listen what he says. Neither shall the unrighteous inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Now listen to this list. Neither fornicators, everybody know what that is, right? Nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves. Now so far we've got a pretty nefarious list, don't we? Nor what? Covetousness. Nor covetous. Nor drunkards. Nor revilers. Nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Wow. He puts covetous right in there among, doesn't he? And really, if you get right down to it, what he's talking about with revilers are those who don't guard their tongue. Slanderers. Those who spread gossip among the people. Those who are guilty of Lashon Hara. They're listed right there. And it says, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. We won't ask for hands on that, but such were some of you. Well, actually, all of us would raise our hands, wouldn't we? Paul was being generous here, saying we're some of you. All of us were. All of us were sinners. Those are the things that cause us not to inherit. But you are justified. You are made righteous. Imputed righteousness in the name of our Lord Jesus and the Spirit of our God. So if we're not supposed to do those, how many agree that those are things you're not supposed to do and they're enemies of holiness? Absolutely. God can call you sanctified, but if you choose to live in that way, what have you done? What? Go ahead, what'd you say? That's right, you defiled yourself by laying aside His instruction.
It's like you just take a bath and go play in the mud.
That's right. That's right. That's what the scripture says in the Proverbs, doesn't it? He's like the pig that returns to the mire. Like the dog that returns to his vomit. That's what we're like, isn't it? That's what we would be like if we did that. In Leviticus 20, verse 26, he tells us how we are supposed to act. He says, you shall be holy unto me, for I am Yahweh, and I am holy, and I have severed you from other people that you should be, what?
Mine.
Say mine. Well, this is God saying, mine. When God calls something mine, how many of you know it's His? It's His. And that's why we don't want to defile ourselves, right? Going back to 1 Corinthians 6 now, the 19th verse, it says, what? Know ye not that your body... Everybody touch your body. This is your body. This is your body. He says, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Where? In your spirit. Which you have of God, and you're not your own. No, we already know. You're mine. So we're not our own, are we? You are not your own, for you are bought. Did he pay for you? Yeah, he owned you first by creation, then he owns you again by redemption, right? Because he redeemed you. He redeemed you from the curse of the law. You're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. If you're going to be godly, you'll glorify God. You'll show forth his praises. We think praises are often is just mouth service, but praises is with our life, isn't it? We praise God. Glorify God. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. How do we do it? How are we going to do it? Well, see, this is simpler than it sounds. It's really simpler than it sounds. He left us a way of being holy unto him. How do we do it? Well, here's what we need to do. By the Word, we become holy. Did you know it takes the Word? Sure it does. Listen what it says. It says, he restoreth my soul, and he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Where's that found? Well, somebody got it up there. You're pretty good, son. Get that right up there. Psalm 23. He restores my soul. And what does he do? He leads. Say leads. Leads me in paths of righteousness. Now, how could you lead someone in paths of righteousness? If you were leading someone in paths of righteousness, where would you be walking? Yeah, you'd be walking in paths of righteousness, wouldn't you? And who leads us there? Yahweh. Yahweh is my Rohi. Yahweh Rohi. He is my shepherd. And he leads me. Think about the shepherd leading his sheep. He leads me. Shepherds do lead, by the way. You know, we used to drive cattle. But shepherds can lead sheep. Why? Because sheep know shepherds' voices. And they'll follow them. So he leads me in the paths of righteousness. Well, that's where he walks, right? Doesn't he walk in paths? That's where he walked all of his life. Did you ever think that he walked completely and totally without sin? How do we know he was totally and completely without sin? The Bible says it, first of all, right? Right. But secondly, we know it because he was raised from the dead. Did you ever think of that? He would have been left in hell had he sinned at all when he died. That would have been it. That would have been the end of everything. So we know, according to his resurrection from the dead, that the spirit of righteousness was in him. He was raised up. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name. What's his name? Yahweh. Are we studying Yahweh Makadosh? Did you ever think that the paths of righteousness is a description of holiness? See, righteousness is imputed unto us, but walking in its paths and doing what he says, that's part of being set apart. That's part of a choice on your part. That's sanctifying yourself. He's leading us in paths of righteousness. If you'll follow him, you will remain holy. Yeshua said it again in John 17:17, which is probably the true intercessory Lord's Prayer. He said, sanctify them through your truth. What's truth? The Word. Or Torah is truth. Thy Torah is truth. Thy Word is truth. Sanctify them. So how do we sanctify ourselves? What we've been learning on Wednesday night, Bob. We sanctify ourselves when we speak the Word of God over ourselves. When we say what the Word says about us and choose to walk in its ways. Speak it. Say it. If you've been having problems with an area and a situation, begin to speak the victory over that situation with the Word of God. If you've been having a problem with temptation, if you've been having a problem with gossip, I always say, you know, if there's a problem with the tongue, say, the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart are acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen? That's what I'm speaking. You say, yeah, but Pastor, are they always? I'm speaking those things which be not as though they were. And I'm hearing them with my ears. And I'm planting them in the soil of my heart. Remember the plow? Where does the plow work nowadays? It works upon our heart. It works upon our heart. And every time you speak, you're sowing seed in your heart. Everything you say is sowing one seed or another in your heart. Some of you praying for crop failure? I say, are some of you praying for crop failure? Well, if you've been saying the wrong things, you need to. Unfortunately, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that will he also reap. Sanctify them through your truth, Father. Your word is truth. Now that word has to be believed, doesn't it? How do you believe things? How do you believe? Is it a choice to believe? Well, it starts with a choice, but it can't be finished with a choice. It's finished with action. Saying and saying and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing, that changes the way you believe. Somebody told me one time, I'd like to believe like you do. It's real simple. Just talk like I do. Amen. You want to believe God like I do? Then talk about God like I do. Act like you mean it. Say it over and over and over again until it's just part of you. Amen. Yeshua said that it's also by the Spirit that we're sanctified. We're not just sanctified by the Word only, but by the Spirit too. The Spirit and the Word function together, don't they? That was the truth we saw on the day of Shavuot, that there was the Spirit and there was the Word. This Word was given in the Ten Commandments, and then years later, He gave them the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit dwells in us. John 10:27, Yeshua said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Again, where does He lead? In paths of righteousness. That's where He walks. He was without sin. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God from the beginning has chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief. See, you have to believe it. And belief of the Word of God. Belief of the truth. So there you've got them together. Spirit and Word. Belief of the truth. So here's what's going on. As we're praying. Now you say, well, you haven't done any praying. You just taught us about sanctification. Well, you have to know where you're going with prayer before you can pray it, don't you? But here's the thing about it. As you speak God's Word, don't think of yourself as just, well, I just decided I'm going to speak God's Word. Think of yourself as God's mouthpiece. When you say something that's the Word of God, I'm God's mouthpiece. And the key to this is hiding it in your heart. Because you can't carry this around with you all. Well, you could, but you'd look funny. And it'd be hard. And there'd be times it'd be difficult. When you're spreading drywall mud, Aaron, it'd be hard to have this open. When you're using a nail gun teeth, it'd be hard. Or a power saw, it'd be hard. Bob, when you're out there working on that house, it'd be tough to have this with you all the time, wouldn't it? But you can hide it in your heart and have it with you. You can hide it with you. So when you open your mouth and you begin to speak what God has said, and you begin to say what He said, and you make it personal. Do you know how to make God's words personal? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, if that applies to me, I can make it personal. God so loved Terry that He gave His only begotten Son, that when I believe in Him, I do not perish, but I have. That's making it personal, isn't it? Is that legal? Is that adding to or taking from? Of course not. If whosoever's in there, it includes Terry, right? So you can do that. Now, this is what we need to do with all of the Word. And when we're talking to God and we say, oh, Father, holy is Your name, Yahweh, Makadosh. You are the Holy One of Israel, and You've made me holy. Lord, You've commanded me to be holy, so I will be holy because You are holy. You made me holy by sanctifying me through the Word of God and prayer. You set me apart unto Yourself. You've drawn me apart to You. And I'll never be separated from You again, because I'm separated unto You. I'm separated from sin, but I am separated to You, Father. Oh, I thank You for that. Do you see how that turns into prayer? And what am I doing? I'm confessing what He said, but I'm making it part of my life. Do I look bored? I'm not bored. When I get to doing that, I'm not bored at all. There's nothing bored about it. I'm reminding myself of what He's done for me and who He is, of His benefit. I'm sanctified. Do you know what that means, people? Someone that was as unholy as I've been in my life, someone who was without God and without hope in the world, that now I can say, I am holy. I'm sanctified holy. I'm sanctified in my spirit, in my soul, and in my body. You have made me the righteousness of God in Christ, and then you called me unto a life of holiness, and I'm holy. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, mighty God, for your sanctification. Man, there's nothing unreal or plastic about that. That's just what you feel on the inside. Oh, I bless you, God. You sanctified me with your blood. The blood of the covenant has set me apart unto you. Now I wash myself and cleanse myself. The washing of water by the Word cleanses me. Did you know that's what Scripture says? He sanctifies and cleanses us through the washing of water by the Word. Through the sanctification of the Spirit and truth. I'm set apart to you, Father. Now, I've taught you two names. How many of you have started practicing already? See, don't just write them down and put them in a notebook, but begin to practice them. When you go out, then, you know, let's remember. Yeshua said that we're to pray after this manner. Father in heaven, holy is your name. Maybe you want to start calling him Abba now. Abba, Dada, Daddy, I love you. I praise you. Holy is your name. Your name, Lord, the eternal name of our God, the name you said that you'd be known by this name forever, Yahweh. I love you. I magnify you. I thank you for my righteousness. You've made me righteous. You took my sin in your own body, that I, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. You made me righteous in your own blood. Oh, I love you. You're Yahweh Tsidkenu. I love you. You're my righteousness. I love you, Father, because you've done so much. I won't forget your benefits. You've made me to be sanctified. And I choose to walk in the light as you were in the light. I choose to walk in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. I choose a life of sanctification. Do you see how you begin to put those things to practice in prayer? It's delightful. Say, it's delightful. Say, I'm delighted. Are you delighted? Wow, it's good to be delighted. It's better to be delighted than to be darkened, right? Delighted. We're in the light. Praise God. He's a delightful God. He made His Sabbath a delight. And that's the difference. And, you know, when you start keeping it that way, it's just a delight. You aren't concerned about the things you're doing as much as what you are in Him. Just walking with Him, being with Him, setting time apart that He set apart. It's delightful. So is prayer. Amen? Make it personal. Don't let these words depart from your mouth. Don't let these words depart from your mouth. Say it with me. I will not let these words depart from my mouth. I will meditate on them. Day and night. Then I shall observe to do them. I will make my way prosperous. I will have good success. I can tell that some of you aren't interested in getting this. If you won't open your mouth and say it, you're not interested in getting it. But if you'll open your mouth and say it, let these words be heard in your inner ear, you're going to be amazed what's going to happen. Just like what's going on Wednesday night. The combination of these things is going to just grow us up. We're going to grow up so fast. I say we're going to grow up so fast, we're going to wonder what happened to our childhood. About time we get out of childhood, isn't it? Time to grow up. Amen. Let's stand together. Lift your hands up. Let's offer ourselves to God now, a living sacrifice. And now may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahweh lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you shalom in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.